If you have your Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 2. As we come at this point in our praise service, just to meditate for a little while upon the account of that first Pentecost Sunday. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. We have here the account from Acts of the coming of the Holy Spirit. On that first Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, and on this Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection, Easter Sunday, we pause just to remind ourselves of what's going on. These verses that I've just read recount the experience of what happened at the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then verses 14 right through to verse 41 recounts the message that Peter brings to the crowd. And the last little section of the chapter recounts the experience on that New Testament church. Just very briefly, I want to remind you this evening on this Pentecost Sunday from this passage in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to just mention these things. It's not a lengthy exposition of the passage, but really drawing out the principles. Peter stands up and says to these people, "No, we are not filled with wine. We are filled with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit that has been foretold by the prophet." And again, in your own time, you can see how in verses 16 following, he says it was spoken by the prophet Joel that in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit." And so what you see happening has been foretold by the prophets of old. He says, secondly, what you see happening is the coming of the Holy Spirit who has been given by the Christ. And there's this very rich section that follows in this message where Peter preaches Christ as all preachers seek to do. We proclaim him. And essentially Peter proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ, this man who lived amongst them, this man who was taken and crucified and nailed to a cross, dead and buried, but on the third day he rose again and is alive. And the summary there in verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear, the Spirit that is given by the Christ. And the Spirit that is received by the penitent. or the repentant, whatever word you prefer. And it was obvious in this situation that the Spirit of God was at work, because we're told here that as the people hear about Christ and they hear about the message of Christ, crucified and risen and exalted, it says that they were cut to the very heart. And they cried out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replies with that famous text, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." And so the wonder of the gospel is that the Holy Spirit, foretold by the prophets, given by the Christ, is received by all who come in repentance and faith and believe in Jesus. And that is the message that is preached around the land and throughout the nations of the world. Come to Christ, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so whenever someone comes to Christ and they truly receive Christ, they are at that very moment baptized by the Spirit. They receive the Spirit. And tonight the challenge is, have you received the Spirit because you are a penitent? You have repented and believed the gospel. And this same Holy Spirit, experienced by the church. Because extraordinarily and wonderfully, we're told here that 3,000 people believed and were baptized because they had received Christ and they received the Spirit. And tonight, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, many of us here tonight, most of us, let me just draw to your attention something about this experience that the church knew in those days. Again, just very, very briefly and in summary form. Because where the Spirit of God is received and where the Spirit of God is at work within a church, it is a learning church. They devoted themselves, verse 42, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the word of the Lord. And this is a key mark of any church that is seeking to be experiencing the Holy Spirit, that they submit themselves to the Word of God. You will have heard me and maybe other preachers share that little dictum that sums up an awful lot, and I think it's very, very good indeed. That all Word and no Spirit, we dry up. And all Spirit and no Word, we blow up. Word and Spirit, we grow up. And how we desperately need to be not only a church, but to see churches centered on the Word and crying unto God for the Spirit. This was a learning church. I wonder, are we learning? I remember a very highly respected minister, Alistair Morris was his name, saying this. He said to a group of younger ministers, he said, "Do not spoil people. Do not feed continuously without expecting. If people are not sharing, then they are not learning." And folks, we have to be careful lest we just take in without giving out. A learning church, a loving church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And verse 44, all the believers were together and they gave to anyone as he had need. Yesterday, people gathered in Windsor because they had certain things in common. They wanted to see Harry and Meghan. And we gather as the church because we have certain things in common. We share in the common life of the Father and the Son. 1 John 1 teaches us that. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And this fellowship is about having certain things in common and sharing certain things. And this fellowship is not just something that we share in, but something that we share out. They gave to anyone as he had need. And at the wedding yesterday, the bishop, who spoke really rather well, ruffled a few dry English feathers maybe, the bishop spoke about the power of love. We sometimes sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. When we sing that, there's another little verse that we sing. Spirit of the Living God, move among us all. Make us one in heart and mind. Make us one in love. Humble, caring, selfless, sharing. Spirit of the Living God, fill our hearts with love. And if we or any church is not a church that loves one another, then we have something missing at the very heart. It was a learning church, a loving church, a worshiping church. And all I would say is that, well, the people here were praising God, and here we are tonight at a praise service. And of course, worship and praise is not just about singing songs. It's also about meeting together to study the word. It's also about praying together, coming along to the midweek. But the last thing I want you just to notice, and remember the point of what I'm saying, the Spirit was poured out, foretold by the prophet, given by Christ, received by those who would repent and believe, and experienced in the church. What kind of church? A church that's learning from the word, a church that's loving, a church that's worshiping, a church that is growing. Verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I don't doubt for a moment that in the midst of all that was going on, and there was much going on here that these people were witnessing. They were opening their mouths, and they were opening their hearts, and they were sharing Jesus. They were witnessing. And let me ask you, and we've asked this recently, are you witnessing to the Lord? Let me use that word expectation again. We need, I think, in the church to get the message out that there is an expectation. Not that we just come and take in, oh, that's it for another week. But that we take in and we give out in our lives. And let me say, just for the record, and I'm sure I'm not saying anything different from what other pastors and ministers would say, we do, and I do, expect that people do seek to witness to the gospel. And there is that sense of expectation that you would seek through your words and through your lives to influence others and to draw them in and to invite. And as that happens, we see God at work. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I love, as I love so much of what the late John Stott said, God didn't add without saving. It was not a nominalism, nor did he save them without adding them to the church. It was no mere individualism. When we're saved, we're made part of his church. Have we lost that expectation to see people converted? To see people discipled when the Spirit is in our midst. That's what he brings. Amen.